Mossy, hello. Good evening to you.
Good morning to you, Mido. Great to hear your dulcet tones and to Bulldog and Clarky.
Take us through your, well, it was Saturday evening for us. Take us through the emotional wave of being at that game.
Well, I may sound a little bit flat tonight because the emotional downer today after the emotional high last night, when I spoke to Bulldog actually and Ray Thomas for the Sunday show, the emotions were running wild because it was just after the game. It was an incredible experience. It really was. It was one of the most hostile atmospheres I've been in inside a stadium live. The Tunisian fans were a wonderful addition to that game, and they gave their team absolutely everything that they could to get them over the line. But which is even more credit to the Aussies and how we handled it. And I got some insights from Rene Molenstein, Arnie's assistant coach, after the game, and he went and watched Tunisia play Denmark. And he went there with the specific purpose of feeling the crowd and the atmosphere that the Tunisians created. And he went back to headquarters and informed the players about the whistling and the hostility of the crowd. And he really pitched it that the louder their crowd were, the better we were going. So he really got the play inside the players' heads to embrace the crowd noise, because they outnumbered us by a fair way, and I think that played a huge role in allowing our players to adapt to it and really go on and win the game. It was a famous victory for Australian football.
Mossy, there was so much talk back here after the loss to France. I don't know what it felt like over there, and I'm really keen to know if there was, I guess, some of that negativity spoken about from within the group in the lead up to this game, to certainly from past players. I think generally, you know, as a player, you can deal with the media criticism, but when past players come out and start hitting you hard, that can be taken quite personally. So did the players use that for, you know, fuel on the fire?
Yeah, Clarkie, they did. I mean, you know, anyone who said that they weren't aware of the criticism would be lying. You know, whether you read it or not, you hear about it. You know, and I think there was some unjust criticism. At the end of the day, France are in this tournament to win it up to their eyeballs, and we're not. You know, quite frankly, we're not going to go and win the World Cup. So I think, you know, that was certainly used in a smart way. It wasn't overdone by Arnie and the coaching staff, but certainly the players were aware of what was being said, and they were really realistic. They knew that they were beaten by a better side. And as you and I discussed, Clarkie, sometimes you just got to put your hand up,
yeah,
and move on to the next performance and wipe that from the memory, learn from the mistakes that we made in that game. And I think we did that brilliantly. But again, like, without getting too tactical, the fact we were able to press with two up front against Tunisia was huge, and it allowed us to put higher pressure than we did against France. But we couldn't do that against France because of their quality. They would have put another four goals on us if we tried that. But it worked against Tunisia because the analysis was spot on, and the game plan was spot on. And to the players' credit, they executed it brilliantly.
Mossy, I chased up that story you and I spoke about yesterday in regards to Mitchell Duke. You were the assistant coach with Arnie at the Mariners in 2010 and 11. And the hero right now, actually back then, you guys pushed him back into the State League with Blacktown City Demons. So it's been an extraordinary journey for Mitchell Duke.
Yeah, it certainly has, Bulldog. And I caught up with him, as you know, after the game yesterday, and we reminisced about it, and we had a good hug. And you know, they're the sort of moments. I'm not saying that made his career, not by any stretch, but at that stage of his career, he hadn't played a lot of minutes for the Mariners that season, and we had the option to loan him back to his State League semi-professional club, Blacktown City. And Mark Crittenden had done a fantastic job with him, the Blacktown coach, and continued to that off-season. He got some crucial minutes, and from there, the rest is history. And, you know, he's now etched his name into Australian football folklore with that goal. And, mate, Mitch is always given credit for his work rate and how hard he works for the team, but rarely is he given credit for the quality of footballer he is. That touch on halfway from the Harry Suter pass, lofted pass forward, was absolutely world class. First time layoff to Riley McGree, plays it wide to Goodwin. Mitch Duke then busts his backside to get into the box. And the header was world-class as well. So that whole movement was a moment of magic from Dukie and others, of course. But it was a defining moment. And it's going to catapult his career as well. I've got no doubt that he'll go to another level in Japan. And he fully deserves it because he just works so selflessly for the team.
What a match we've got then against Denmark. And just looking at the FIFA rankings, we're 38th, Denmark a 10th. But on face value, Mossy, Denmark a better team than they were 4 years ago when we drew 1-1 with them in the group stage?
It's a great question. You know, not from what I've seen. And I mean that. I'm not just talking with my heart there. I think they're absolutely doable. They're going to be tough, don't get me wrong. I think they've got more quality than Tunisia, but that performance and the result gives us huge confidence going into this one. And we're going to have to scratch, bollock and bite like we did against Tunisia. That Aussie DNA is going to be absolutely critical, but we're going to make sure we have to set that platform to allow our quality to shine through like we did against Tunisia as well. But I think we are right in this fight up to our necks to get through the group. I said before, and I really mean it, the miracle was actually making this World Cup. Mm. If we were to get through this group with Denmark and France in it, that would be something just ultra special, and I think we've got every chance.
In saying that then, Mossy, what's this look like for not just the head coach but the players, win, lose or draw this last game? Do they leave this World Cup with their head held high, and does Graham Arnold go down as, you know, one of the best coaches that we've had? Because I feel like, you know, him particularly has been under so much pressure in the lead up to the World Cup. Were they going to sack him before it? Now we're sitting here talking about getting through and qualifying. Like, what an amazing turnaround.
Yeah, it would be, Clarkie. Look, no one can take away from Arnie. He's now the first Australian-born coach to win a game at a World Cup. We've scored in both games from open play, and been the first team to score in the France game, albeit that we obviously lost that game in the end. But you know, first here's an example of how hard it is to win in a World Cup game. That was our second clean sheet. The first one was in 1974. It's the first time we've kept a clean sheet and won a game at the World Cup in 18 games. So it just gives you an idea of, you know, these are the World Cup finals, right? It's not the World Cup like other sports. You've got to get there first. You've got to qualify to get there from 200 teams over a two-year period. And then come to the finals and try and win when there's 32 teams and obviously three others in your group. So it really is like no other sport. And I think Arnie will you know, go down in history as that. You can't take that away from him. I do think we need to make sure that if we don't qualify through this group, we certainly go down with a fight against Denmark. We can't go down with a whimper. I don't expect that to happen in any way, shape or form. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Football Australia haven't offered Arnie a new deal, so we don't know what his future holds. But what I do know, having been around the squad after the game for a couple of hours, the culture within that squad and the feeling from the players towards their coach and their coaching staff is rock solid. It is so strong. It's so tangible when you're around the squad. So it'll be interesting to see what happens post this World Cup.
Mossy, excuse me, you just touched on it. They look like they're playing for each other. Unlike other sports where the Kangaroos, for example, they all come from the one competition, or Clarkie with the Australian cricket team, it's all from one nation. But when the Socceroos come together, they come from all over the world. So it must be quite a challenge to sort of mould them and get the camaraderie going, because they're all playing in different leagues.
Yeah, it really is. And then you've got the, you know, with some of these players, they haven't spent a lot of time in Australia ever, Bulldogs. So like Frank Karacic last night, playing right fullback, and you may remember seeing that Milos Deganek came from the bench to speak with him during the game at Arnie's request. Now, that was to translate, because Fran's English isn't his first language. So you've got all sorts of different, you know, logistics and ingredients that come into a football dressing room such as the Socceroos. And you're right, the coach doesn't get a lot of time with these players at all, and particularly for this World Cup, They came together in camp 7 days before game one, and that was it. So, you know, it's a credit to all the staff, not just Arnie, all the staff, how they work their magic in such a short space of time to bring this team together. They've created that family atmosphere, and there's a lot of partners and wives and kids over here as well supporting their heroes, if you like. And that all counts for a lot. And then when everyone gets to celebrate a win like that against Tunisia, it was really, really special to be a part of it.
Oh, 24 minutes in, Spain and Germany is scoreless. This is the biggest game of the group stage, isn't it, Mossy? Huge game for Germany.
Oh,
it really is, Mido. And the quality, I'm just sitting here with my son Nathan and Penny, my wife, watching it. The quality of this game is out of this world. The pace, the intensity of it, but the sheer quality, brilliant. Massive game is it for Germany. I'm looking forward as well. Tomorrow night we've got tickets to go and see Portugal and Uruguay. So I'll be seeing Cristiano Ronaldo up close, which will be a highlight for us as well. But there is so much to love about this World Cup and the quality of games, the upsets we're getting. The conditions over here are definitely playing a part. There's no doubt about that. Although the stadiums are air conditioned, you can see the different conditions are definitely having an effect on teams.
Well, I'll see you go and enjoy that Portugal Uruguay game, and we will chat, I guess, on Wednesday then.
You certainly will. I think I'll be talking to you just as we're entering the stadium for that one. So, look forward to speaking then.
Ah, you're a soldier, mate. Appreciate it as always. You enjoy and chat then.
Good on you guys. Take care.